evil plans.
And magnolias,
they never do evil plans.
And begonias,
all they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living give without any fuss.
Us.
Water,
water,
sun, and air.
And sun.
Are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It is hour number two of Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hey, thanks for stopping by the greenhouse this morning. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio, who's pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher this morning, who has the Saturday off. Dave, of course, owner of Sonoma Mission Gardens, over 40 years at Craig and Arnold Drive, frequent winner of the San Francisco Landscape and Design Shows, and also the Sonoma County the Beautiful Flower Show here many years ago, on staff at the JC, our Santa Rosa Junior College Horticulture Department, for some 40 years, answering questions and teaching classes on horticulture. Ron, thanks so much for calling us back. We had to cut Ron short in hour number one. He was describing a condition affecting his olive tree, and it sounds like it's completely defoliated. Was that where we left off? Is that correct, Ron?
Yeah, that's true. We have a total of about six trees in our house. I was just informed by my wife that I guess four of the six olive trees lost all of their leaves. Two of them, the ones closest to the house, lost about 60-80%. The ones that you talked about where they sat in the property, the ones that lost all their leaves are at the lowest point on the lot itself. The water does kind of slope that direction. But out of the six, four of them have returned. Their leaves are returning. They're looking pretty healthy. A couple of them, their leaves have not returned yet. The trees look healthy, but they don't have any leaves on them. I'm wondering basically if they will come around and grow leaves back.
They will. Olives are amazingly resilient. And I have a funny feeling it was probably due to the wetness. Where are you?
Out in the Bloomfield area, towards the coast, West Petaluma.
And I'm not that familiar with the soil and stuff out there. Is that, are you like in the area that's got the heavy, lovely clay or adobe that Petaluma is well known for?
No, it doesn't have adobe. It's got more of a sandy loam type of soil.
So it actually drains fairly well, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot of the evergreen plants this season, because it was wet for so long of a period, even though they weren't necessarily standing in puddles or lakes, a lot of the plants have lost some of their root system. And so they, by losing some of its root system, it throws, it loses some of its leaves, and then it will regrow for you. And the olives should come back, especially if there's green showing. And I would just give them, several weeks to see how the weather runs and stuff. But if it stays dry, they'll probably recover for you.
Okay, great. Is there anything we can do to assist them? Any nutrients or any sprays or anything that would help?
At this point, because they've been through, most of the fertilizer things that you would throw at them that would help get them to send out new growth need to either be watered in or poured on as a liquid. And so I would have a tendency to wait till the weather is dry for a while, and you can take a stick or a pole or something and push it down into the ground, or can't push it down into the ground because the ground is so dry or getting drier. So probably I would guess maybe another 4 to 5 weeks. And out in Bloomfield, too, you probably get a lot more fog that hangs in and stuff. So that additional moisture on the upper portion of the tree isn't going to help the leaves originally. But I think they should be okay from everything you've said. I've seen olives go through a lot of weird stresses, and they'll end up growing out of it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I know they were looking a little stressed. I didn't want to. If there was something we could do to help them, we just didn't want to lose them because they're beautiful trees.
Yeah, no. If they've been doing well for you previously, I would just kind of for the moment, stand back for another at least probably 2 to 4 weeks or something, and then maybe give them a good jolt of a multi-purpose type of fertilizer. Because normally olives aren't big eaters, but due to the fact that there's little or no leaves on them, it would definitely cause them to push some new growth.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Hey, Ron, before you go, what do you end up doing with the fruit?
These are fruitless.
They're fruitless. I'm sorry. I missed that part. Okay. I must have been sleeping during that portion. I'm sorry, Ron. Thanks again for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. They're fruitless. All right. ornamental than all those.
Yeah, and the fruitless, you know, I mean, it's nice that if people are into ornamental olives, getting them to use the fruitless varieties is nice, because then they're not helping promote the problems with the olive fruit fly and everything that's going on.
Neil, who called about his wanting to outline some designs on his property in Sebastopol to do some more artistic tractoring, there are turf green athletic field marking paints. You can find these on Amazon and a lot of places. They're not cheap. It says 12 cans for $58. That's not bad, $5 a can. And these are non-toxic, and they cover up brown spots on your lawn, allow existing foliage to grow, and they won't harm plants or grass. It doesn't wash away with rain or irrigation. So obviously, if you're going to outline, and it could be very expensive, but if you're just putting marks in the corners or just outlining, and you use them in landscaping, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, we use an orange version. Oh, I didn't even think about that when we were talking with them, but we use an orange paint, that marking paint that we put on in the soil, and it has no effect on the plants or the soil. That we a lot of times will mark where we want a plant, particular plant to be planted and stuff of that nature, or we're putting in a edge along a lawn area or something. That way my guys know where to go. I don't have to stand there and hold their hand while they're putting out the steel header.
So the prices are all over the map on Amazon. Some are $12 a can, and others, if you buy a 12-pack, it's $58 for 12. And this is the manufacturer's AmeriStripe Turf Green Athletic Field Marking Paint. So, Neil, there's lots of options for you out there to design more of your crop art. That goes down as one of the more unique questions, comments we've ever had on the show. And he was the owner of the No Name Bar. Do you remember that bar in Sausalito from the 60s and 70s?
I remember hearing of it. I never went there, but I didn't go to Sausalito very much.
It was a scene, let me tell you. Cindy emails us. I love this. Help me, Dave, with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave. I have about a half an acre. What was that, 40 acres?
Four-tenths of an acre. Not quite a half an acre.
Okay, half acre of gently sloping and tiered weed gardens nearest Fountain Grove. It's beyond high maintenance. What do you suggest? Appreciate any suggestions, Cindy, and thanks for sending us a couple photos, Cindy.
I like her weed gardens. They're really attractive.
So there you are, Cindy.
You know, the thing is, especially when you mentioned near Fountain Grove, it sort of, you know, pushed the thing about the fires, because a lot of people would say, well, you know, get your cardboard and get it out there and pin it down and then put a good mulch on top of it. But a lot of the bark mulches and stuff are highly prone to burn. And so people are kind of stepping back from that. You might consider doing some sort of a weed barrier or whatever, and then putting a gravel on top of it, and that would gravel. Cut a lot of the work down in the long run. Eventually, though, the weeds will start popping up in the gravel. There's no complete and total alternative, and especially since you've got a slope, if you used a soil sterilant on an area that big, your neighbors would probably shoot you. But it would keep the weeds away. Otherwise, it's, you know, just kind of weed eating the weeds.
Yes, because if you were called on in a consultation for Cindy, that's exactly what you would tell her. That's what you would be able to do.
I would probably, you know, it's not going to be a cheap proposition, because it's a big area and it's on a little bit of a slope, but a gravel that's got, you know, some size to it and is a chip rather than like a pea gravel.
Oh.
So it'll stay in place and won't run down the hill when the rains hit and stuff of that nature, with a good weed barrier underneath it, it's going to be probably one of the least amount of work for that kind of area.
New York Times did a big article last week, I don't know if you saw it, about in their gardening section during the week about weed fabrics. They said, save your money. There's not one in the market that will work over the long term. No matter what they claim, weeds will come through any of them. Do you agree?
Not completely.
Are there some that are better that allow some?
We have a weed barrier. It's a commercial weed barrier is what it amounts to, but it's a kind of a black woven plastic. Yeah. And generally, even uncovered, you know, with no rock or anything to keep the sun rays from it and stuff, we've used it in the nursery, and some of it's been down probably 12 to 14 years. And yes, in the places where the seams aren't quite tight or something, you'll get something coming through it. And if you have Bermuda grass, forget it. Nothing's going to stop it. You know, but there are weed barriers that will give you several years of comfort as far as keeping the weeds out are concerned.
But is this something available at retail? Someone or online could order something like this?
They could probably order online, because you can get anything online in this day and age. But it's not as cheap as like going into one of the hardware stores and buying a roll of weed barrier.
Okay, so there's your answer, Cindy. If you need more information, either email us or call us. We don't have anyone on hold at this moment, 636-1350, and Dave can give you some more information about that. But there's your answer. Some heavier, not gravel, but a rock covering, but not the pea gravel type.
Now, well, you can get stuff that's almost the same size as pea gravel, and it's called chip.
Chip.
Something right. Chip. Whatever the particular area that it's mined in or brought from. And because it's irregular, it has a tendency to kind of interpack itself, so it stays better. And it could be, you know, it could look fairly nice for a while.
Okay.
And the other thing is, you know, if you want to use it, the bark mulches work really well. But again, they're going to have weeds growing within the mulch itself in a few years.
And won't they break down a lot quicker than the rock will?
It would break down much quicker than the rock would. And also, too, bark mulch, you know, the moment it's got any weed seeds blown into it, it'll grow.
Okay, there's your answer, Cindy. 636-1350. If you want to reach us, no one on hold at this moment. I would call and tap the vast encyclopedic resource mind of Dave Fazio, one of the great gardeners, landscape installers, designers, and teachers of horticulture in Sonoma County. Live Garden Talk is always Saturday morning, 9 to 11. And Chef John Ash, as we move from the greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen, we'll meet up with John at 11:05. We'll talk about one of the hottest restaurants on the coast. Get there now before it will be just lines out the door. We'll tell you about that as we talk with the chef from Tony's Seafood out in Marshall, California this morning. And then the Press Democrat folks will be in this morning to talk about the big, big food and wine event coming up in just 2 weeks from today. Big fundraiser, and Chef John Ash is the lead chef of this tremendous event. 80 wineries plus some 35 of the best Sonoma County chefs. We have a pair of tickets for one lucky Good Food Hour listener today. So be sure to stick around the radio between 11 and noon today.
Loose ball to Thompson. Throw ahead, KD.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks.
One step and a right hand dunk for Durant and a timeout.
KSRO.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers, and our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
New plants are coming in weekly. Shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays with bulbs, ferns, succulents, hanging baskets, indoor and outdoor plants and trees, many grown on site, all bursting with new growth. Planning to landscape this season or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO here, speaking up for my all-time favorite home of flowers and plants, indoor and outdoor, King's Nursery in Santa Rosa, one of the truly great gifts to our community. I just read where 95% of King's plants are grown locally. Do you think after 123 years they've learned a few things about flowers, plants, and veggies that grow right here in Sonoma County? You bet they have. And they've been rewarded by being voted the best nursery in the county for years in a row now. Also want to put in a few good words about King's staff. I've personally shopped there perhaps 20 times in the past few years, and I've learned more and been served so well by their amazing crew of plant people who know what they're talking about and are happy to teach you as they've taught me. All you need to do is ask. King's Nursery, corner of 13th and Stewart, Santa Rosa, just off College in the heart of the city. Family owned since 1896. Learn more at kingsflowernursery.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
And just to finish up on Cindy's question, Dave, about trying to prevent those weeds, you're describing a type of landscape fabric that's up 12 feet wide, not the usual 3 feet wide you get at the home improvement centers. And this is a 200-foot length
Yeah, it's like a 100 or 200-foot roll. It's a big roll.
And then you stake this down, you pound this in, and then you bring this the gravel that you had mentioned, maybe from Wheeler's Amroni or SBI, any of the larger landscape supply companies, these gravel chips, and just bring a couple, few, how many yards you need.
Yeah, you can use chips, or you can use something bigger if you wanted to also. You know, if it's an area you're not going to be walking on or across or something, then going to a bigger stone, it's always going to last longer.
Okay, sounds great. Judy from Petaluma, you're up next. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
I have a weeping willow tree, and it looks like it's pretty dead, but there's a little bit of green way up on top. It's about 8 years old around there. Is there anything I could do to make it come back?
You could, since it's a willow and they like water, you could give it a little shot of fertilizer, or a substantial shot of fertilizer. You don't, have you looked at the trunk of the willow?
Yes, I've weed eaten around it.
You didn't nick the trunk, did you, with your weed eater?
I don't think I got that close, because there's still some weeds around it.
Okay. It should push new growth for you, especially with all the rain we've had last winter. There's quite a number of plants that are actually being a little bit slow to re-leaf this spring because the ground was so wet. But giving it a jolt of fertilizer would be terrific, and I would just use a multi-purpose type of fertilizer.
Oh, great. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Look at the trunk to make sure you don't have little holes in the trunk, or you see any sap running out of the trunk, because there is a little critter called willow borer that will dig into them, and then they can't get the water and stuff up into the plant itself. But you're saying the green is at the tip, so it might be okay. It may not have those. But I would check it out just in case.
And if it does, what do I do? Anything?
There are systemic type of products that you can use. Some of them are on the ground, or some of them you can actually use on the trunk itself, and they're absorbed into the tree. Because with the borers, they're inside, and so using a regular contact type of spray is not very effective. You got to get
some. Thank you very much.
Sure, you're welcome.
Appreciate your call, Judy. Well, Master Gardener Extraordinaire Jim Lang is on the line, and he would like to clarify the gopher trap that we were speaking about last week on the air. And thanks for taking time to call us, Jim. Hi.
Good morning. Gwen told me the other day that you guys talked about this trap that I had told her about, and I was listening, but I didn't hear that part of the show, and I just heard a guy call on a few minutes ago. And what I wanted to maybe save your listeners some effort and some money, what happened, the background of the story, is my neighbor, who's also very good at using the cinch traps, about a month ago, he came over here. He was so excited. He said, look at this trap. My God, I'm catching gopher every 30 minutes. I'm going, really? So I went over and saw it. I says, God, that looks great. And, well, I've been using cinch traps forever. I'm always open to something new. I have a open mind. So I went out and ordered one, and dangle. I started right away, and then all of a sudden, neither one of us can catch a thing with these traps. I don't know why. So what my advice to, because they're $25 a piece, so my advice to your listeners, if they want to try this trap, it's called a gopher hawk. The reason I was excited about it is you don't have to get down on your hands and knees, and they're very easy to set compared to a cinch trap, which older people have a hard time setting them. Mm-hmm. Women have a hard time setting them. My friend has an artificial leg. I just got him to get one to try it because he's got 10 acres of gophers, and he has a hard time getting it. So it looked like a real promising thing to try. So I'm going to be continuing to try it, as is my neighbor and my other friend, and I will let Gwen know in a few weeks if we're having success or not before everybody goes out and spends a lot of money on this trap, because I know the cinch traps are wonderful. I'm just looking for something for people who just have a hard time doing it. You don't have to get down on your hands and knees. It's all done from above the ground. But while we had success right away, all of a sudden, nothing. And I don't have a clue why.
So it appears that the trap is easier to dispose of than like the Maccabee and the cinch, and easier to set initially.
It takes a little arm strength, but you don't have to get down on your hands and knees. You don't have to dig any holes. Oh. You don't have to dig out any tunnels. It's very quick. Yeah. Although I can think in dry soil, this is going to be very difficult to use because you've just got this little pointed thing that you're opening up the hole with. And on moles, I've had to make a stand. What I use is a milk crate that I put over it where they got the holes in it to hold the thing up because the shallow runs on mulch, you can't get this down very far. And the part that goes in the ground is very fragile. You have to be very careful. The first one, that time I did it, I broke it. I had to go out and buy a replacement head for it. So now I know not. It says don't push down. But I will keep trying this, and I will let Gwen know. And if I think that it's worth people spending their money, I will let her know, and she can let you know, and you can let your listeners know.
Dave, any questions for Jim about this?
No. Hi, Jim. How are you, by the way? that's great information on that trap. This morning is the first I've been introduced to it or heard about it, so it'll be interesting to see how it does.
Yeah, if you go online, it's still just how to set it, and they show you. I have a friend that has an artificial leg, and it's hell for him to get up and down hundreds of times a day setting traps. So this is why I'm looking for if there is something that would work, but we're having second doubts. My neighbor all of a sudden he's I caught 28 already, and now I can't catch any. Now, why he would catch 28 in a row, and all of a sudden now he's not working, I don't have a clue.
Could it be that maybe he's cleared the area for a day or two?
No. This is all new action. No, he's setting. He's right up against the dairy. I have a little buff, but my two neighbors are right up against the dairy, and they get like 50, 60, 70 a year, while I get like maybe a dozen. So I don't have as many chances to trap as they do. But anyway, I just felt bad that if you're thinking that your listeners would go out and spend a whole bunch of money and then be angry at you if this isn't going to work for them.
So we will wait for your conclusions after giving it a test drive for several weeks, okay?
Okay, good enough. Thanks.
Wonderful to hear from you as always, Jim Lang, who has been gardening in these parts for many, many, many years.
Yeah, he's very well known.
He'll give us the real scoop, whether save your money or go out and give this a test run. Mm-hmm. It's called the Gopher Hawk, if you're wondering. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We've just cleared the lines for the first time since 9 o'clock. You can reach Dave Fazio right now simply by picking up the phone, or if you have a cell phone, you don't need to pick that up. 636-1350. You can get right into the greenhouse now and chat about gardening. If you need a plant recommendation, if you're having a problem with a plant, talk to the man that's heard it all over the past 45 years of owning the Sonoma Mission Gardens and also teaching horticulture at the Santa Rosa Junior College, Dave Fazio. You can also shoot us an email right now, steve@ksro.com, and we'll take your question that way. Of course, you can always include a photo or two if you're so inclined. This is KSRO, back in just a couple minutes.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
Need to move mom and dad? Need to sell the house to pay for their care? With extensive experience in senior relocation, estate liquidation, trust, and probate, I can help ease the strain of relocating an aging parent or settling an estate after the loss of a loved one. I'm connected with senior move managers and realtors locally and across the country for a smooth transition when relocating to a care facility or out of the area.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
At Aaron's, we believe good people are all around us. In fact, you hear it on the news all the time.
People formed a human chain to rescue a man during the storm.
That's why Aaron's approves good people other stores won't. Your credit isn't the best? That's fine. Need more time to pay? Let's work it out. Want hundreds of options from top brands? Just lease with Aaron's. We even deliver to you for free. Because good people always deserve better. Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable.
Join George Adair of Cross Country Mortgage every Wednesday from noon to 12:30 for On Air with George Adair on KSRO. George helps you understand real estate and lending. Whether you're looking to purchase your first home or expanding your real estate holdings, George will help you navigate the world of home loans. George talks with community guests, covers local topics, and shows you how the larger world economy affects your bottom line each Wednesday from noon to 12:30. On Air with George Adair on KSRO.
Marquis, where do I find this here gelati company?
Well, there's plenty of gelati companies in these parts, but only one big outfit, Gelati Construction.
And they're dang good, too.
Here they come now!
Doggone, that's one big outfit.
When the dust finally settles, Gelati Construction gets her done.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Mix of clouds and sunshine for the weekend. Today, blue skies at 78, 62 on the coast. Few clouds for tonight, low 53, 51 on the shores. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 72, 60 in Bodega Bay. Almost to 80 degrees for Monday with partly cloudy skies, high 63 on the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Graydon Resort and Casino is now hiring.
Every day I get to go into my job and see my second family.
Visit GraydonResortCasino.com for all of our available positions.
You're listening to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, everyone. Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher today. Delighted to have you along with the show. Mitch, one of our great listeners, just stopped by the greenhouse and dropped off some seeds. These are for Gwen. It says, and Gwen will get these next Saturday when she's back. It says, here, find here enclosed Okra Charlie's heirloom okra seeds. And also purple-hulled peas, both of which were from my grandpa's farm in Missouri which he's grown since the late 1800s. So here's the seeds in an envelope. We'll see if they germinate. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's amazing that somebody would have kept using, I mean, granted, they're probably something that they eat all the time, so they grow them every year to keep seeds going like that.
From Pen Grove, California, Terry, welcome into the KSRO Greenhouse. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for taking that call. I have a question about a couple of bird of paradise plants I have. I don't really know much about them or how to care for them. They have a pretty substantial, about a 10-12-inch root base, and don't know when to separate them or how to prune them or how to keep them proliferating.
Are these the giant bird paradises or the regular ones with the orange flowers?
Well, they are very colorful, about 3.5-4 foot tall.
Okay.
As they present.
Okay.
So, like I say, I haven't been able to get anybody to give me any information on them.
Have you, they're basically the normal bird of paradise. Once in a while, people call with a giant bird of paradise, which is more of a house plant. It ends up being more of a tree, and the flower on that is really quite exotic because it's kind of pink and black. Do you have these in containers? Or are they in the ground?
Actually, they're in the ground. Both of them outdoor. One of them in a fairly sheltered location. And the other one out in the middle next to a barn structure seems to do very well with some pretty good moisture on them now. But I was just wondering how I can split them apart, or they seem to be, you know, they're growing well in a mass. But I was wondering, can you separate them?
Yes.
How do you separate them and when?
I would wait till they're done blooming if you're going to separate them. And if you look at the mass real closely, you'll find that they're sort of like irises or something. They come up in kind of a cluster that's got leaves coming out of the same spot, and there will be almost a swelling at the base of the leaves. And what you would want to do is get at least one of those sections and a little bit of root or a portion of root. Or, you know, if they're really huge, you could actually, you know, dig it and cut it in half or something. They will divide and they will split. When you do that, you're going to have to keep a good eye out on water, because they're going to need a little additional moisture for you. But I would go ahead.
I have a backhoe that it was a 16-inch bucket, and I could actually remove the entire structure. Would it be better to do that and then pull it apart and replant it, or would I be better just to try and with a shovel cleave off small portions?
What are you going to do with your divisions, or what are you going to do when you separate it?
I just want to continue. They're a very pretty barrier along this one barren wall. I just like, much like naked ladies, I just like to continue them on down and make sure they continue to thrive. They're very pretty, and seem just to bloom all the time.
You're fortunate if they're blooming all the time, because usually they bloom profusely in the spring and then maybe a spattering here and there through the summertime.
I have read, Dave, that you want to divide them infrequently, because the clumps that are packed tightly bloom best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think these have been touched in at least 7 years or more, because they were pretty much neglected, and I'm not even sure they got adequate water. But since I've been watering, they seem to really come alive and to be doing quite well.
It's amazing what water will do for a plant. you know, you could divide them into individual, I guess you want to call it fans, or individual little clumps with a little bit of root on them. It's going to take them longer to get themselves set and regrow and come back into flower again for you than if you were to divide, you know, a big clump into like 4 pieces or 8 pieces or whatever, depending on how large it is. So a lot of it would be, you know, the effect that you would like to have. You know, when you go to an individual clump, you're going to have a lot more plants out of a big clump than if you only divide it into like 8 or 9 pieces.
Okay, so I was worried about putting a shovel into this to try and separate it, or just how to cleave it apart without damaging it. But they're a beautiful plant.
Yeah, you might lose a few of the leaves, or even sometimes, you know, with a shovel and doing each individual little grouping, you might lose some of those. You're more apt to lose a few of them than if you take and you divide it into bigger sections. And so, I mean, it's not so crazy. And if you've got the access to a backhoe, lifting it and then cutting it, either with a kind of a sharp knife, like a machete or something of that nature, or even a saw.
Oh,
You know.
So should I, before I start dividing these, should I prune the top foliage down at all, or should I just leave what's green up above and then try and work the plant out that way?
I would lift the plant, divide it, replant it, and then maybe remove a couple of the outside leaves on the fans or the clumps that are there, because those are liable to go on you.
And should I be mulching around this? I have a lot of access to a lot of compost from the dairy.
Aged compost would definitely help them.
Okay, very good. Topically now, or I can wait until after I replant.
Yeah, I would probably do it a little later in the summer, maybe even in the fall, because you're in an area that doesn't get a lot of cold, so you should be fine with that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
It was a great question. It was sure nice hearing from you, Terry. Thanks.
Thank you.
Terry from Pengrove, who's going to bring his, what do you say, big bucket backhoe in to take out some birds of paradise? That was a great question.
It's really amazing what you can do with a backhoe when you get started.
Let's see. We have it's Tony, who's calling us from Forestville, California this morning. Tony, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. I have a 40-foot ginkgo tree, and I noticed that there are notches around it. There's some at 5 feet. And there's some higher up. Does it get the borer?
The ginkgos normally don't get a borer as such, and I'm just wondering, could you describe your notches? Are these like in rows?
Yeah, it's a row around.
And there may be half or a third of an inch in length and maybe a quarter of an inch or a little wider?
Yeah, they're not very big. It looks to me like if you took a chainsaw and kind of cut around it, it would leave that kind of notches. I don't.
These don't go like up and down on the trunk. They're a ring
they're
around.
Circular. Yeah.
Because of that description, you got me caught. I was thinking the way you were talking about notches, I was thinking that you probably had what they call yellow flecker damage. And is there a way that you could take a picture and send us a picture this morning so I could actually see these notches?
No, I'm not very good at that.
Oh, because...
Well, do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all you need to do is take a photo. And have you ever emailed photos to anybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what you do. You take a few photos as close as you can and just email the photos to me, steve@ksro.com. It's as simple as that.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
Thank you.
Because it would really help a lot, Tony. Just send us a couple photos and we'll take a look at it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I'll do that.
Okay. Don't you think, Dave, that because it's not what you
had
initially thought?
Yeah, because, ginkgos have got a interesting kind of bark to them, and they may have something that somebody might describe as notches to look at it that are natural. But the thing that hits me is that maybe it's yellow fleckers, but then she said something about
you mean bird damage?
Yeah, and then she said something about them going around instead of up and down on the
okay
I have to see what's going
on. Well, I'm hoping this will be a breakthrough for Tony to realize how dang simple it is, really, to snap a few photos and just email them to
us. Aren't computers amazing when you know what you're doing with them?
Well, think about in the dark ages, Dave, when we were doing the show 27, 28 years ago. We'd have to wait
2 weeks.
2 weeks. We'd get a letter, and sometimes the letter wouldn't get to us, and that's how we would have to diagnose things. So God bless the computer for diagnosing plants, IDs, and other things. 636-1350. If we still have about 10 minutes, 15 minutes left, if you were trying to get in to reach Dave Fazio, you can do so now. No one on hold at this moment. 636-1350 for a one-on-one consultation with Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens right now. Or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. We're going to take a potato question from Judy via email right after this.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts, the best produce this season from Singing Frogs, Bernier, Armstrong Valley, and Lantern Farm. The Beet Generation has a large selection of fresh-made pasta, Savor Farm fresh eggs, delicious cheeses, and fresh fruit, apricots, peaches, nectarines, strawberries, and cherries. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, and duck. Anna's fresh seafood and Franco's freshly made sausages. The best choices of food vendors, the Greengrocer's Farm Fresh menu, Lata's Indian cuisine is returned with their exotic dishes, and Ellie's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa original certified farmers market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
You can find the best deals in Sonoma County only on MySonomaDeals.com. Enjoy dining, family fun, health and beauty, and more for just half the price. The deals are always changing in a limited quantity, so make sure to check often so you don't miss out on these amazing deals. Savings and fun, all wrapped into one, only at MySonomaDeals.com. That's MySonomaDeals.com.
Wildfires are always a threat in California, and we must all work together to keep our communities safe. To reduce the risk of wildfires and other emergencies, your energy company may shut off power during extreme and potentially dangerous weather conditions. These events are called public safety power shutoffs, and all Californians should prepare by creating an emergency plan and updating your contact information with your energy company. By working together, we can reduce the risk of wildfires. Learn more at prepareforpowerdown.com.
If you're wondering what program you landed on, it's called Garden Talk. You're listening to KSRO, it's News Talk Radio Station in Santa Rosa, California. I'm Steve Garner and Dave Fazio, my co-host this morning. Gwen will be back next Saturday. We debuted the show in October 1987, and thanks to your loyalty and interest in the world of gardening, we're still at it. From Rohnert Park, Mary, thanks for joining us. You're on with Dave. Good morning.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about I put in some hosta plants, you know, the big green leaf for a border. And I'm having a terrible problem with snails. I've put down snail and slug pellets, and then someone suggested crunching up eggshells around the plant so the snails wouldn't get to it. And nothing seems to be working. I went out this morning, and they're still gnawing away at those leaves. I was wondering if you had any other suggestions.
You know, the baits or the... I'm trying to think of the organic one that they've got that they use for snails and slugs.
Like Sluggo? Or?
Sluggo, thank you.
Sluggo.
Yeah. You just have to keep at it.
Okay.
You know, hostas to snails are like ice cream and cake to me.
Oh, okay.
You know, they love them, and they're notorious about it, and, you know, you can bait, and you think you got rid of them for a day or two, and then they're right back at you. It seems like they come from, you know, miles away to eat on your hostas.
Do you have any other suggestion for a plant that I could put in just as a border, you know, for a green kind of leafy border along a walkway other than hostas?
It's a fairly shaded walkway? Most of the ferns would work really well for you. You know, there's the Pacific sword fern, which is would grow about the same size, and it's got a beautiful black green leaf to it and stuff, and doesn't get really enormous, and that would be a nice little border along a shaded walkway.
Okay, great.
Anything else?
And then there's stuff, you know, I mean, there are actual ground covers and stuff like carpet bugle, which is known as a juga, would work well.
Nice.
And if it's not a dark shade, bacopa would be really nice in there that's green with a white leaf. Green with the white leaves. Green with the white flowers.
What was the name of that last one? Copa?
Bacopa.
B-A-C-O-P-A. V-A-C-O-P-A. Okay.
No, it's B. B-A as in boy.
Oh, B as
bacopa.
In boy. Okay.
It's one of Dave's favorites.
And is that something that'll come back every year?
It's green year-round.
Okay, beautiful.
And before you leave, I wanted to ask Dave, would diatomaceous earth be helpful for hosta control?
It's not going to control the hostas, but it would help in controlling
the snails and slugs. Pardon me.
You know, she mentioned that she had been throwing some bait and stuff. And the big thing is you got to be religious about it.
Yeah.
You just can't do it once or twice and expect to take care of it.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
Okay. Okay, great. Great information. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks
for your call, Mary. Judy sent us some photos of her potato bush, and she said, Dave, here are some photos of my potato plants. As you can see, they're almost 30 inches tall, and what do I do now? They're starting to form flowers. Last year I buried the stems, and every time they got about a foot high, but the plants didn't do well at all. So what now? That's Judy from up in Windsor.
I would have a tendency at this point probably not to do too much if her soil is fairly good where they're planted. Usually once your potatoes start setting flowers where they're actually opening and stuff, you can actually reach in underneath them and start stealing potatoes. Or you can wait till later in the summer and then actually dig them and, you know, take the plants out altogether. But she could, if she really wanted to make it a little bit deeper, but I don't think it's going to have much effect on her potato crop, is throw, you know, 2 or 3 inches of straw down with a light coating of a composted material or something. And that may give them a little bit more room to grow as such. But because they're already starting to flower, they're almost to the point of where they're setting their potato crop for you.
Okay, there's your answer, Judy. If you want further information, give us a call or email us at steve@ksro.com. I was at the Sonoma Mission Gardens earlier that week. I just go out there for stress reduction. I don't buy anything. No, I'm sorry. I do buy things occasionally, Dave.
But have people just come in and sit down on a bench and enjoy themselves.
And just enjoy all that. You must have 50 or 60 fountains always going in the nursery at any one time. It's so restful. And I saw this plant called a dwarf kangaroo.
Paw.
Is a kangaroo paw?
Yeah.
Plant. It's such a cool plant. What is the requirements for that? I'd love to grow it.
It would not want to be in a hot, dry, exposed area, but it would work well in a filtered light or a part-day sun sort of condition, and make sure that it's got a little bit of cold winter protection.
I love it. It's a very exotic looking, fun plant.
Yeah, the flowers are really neat because they're kind of velvety, and when you look at each individual blossom, it looks like a kangaroo's paw.
It does, exactly, the kangaroo paw. And this was pink. It's quite lovely.
Comes in pinks and oranges and reds and yellows, and there's quite a nice
another selection. Cool plant which caught my eye was this one called Tropicana Black. This is really a cool plant.
The canna lilies.
Yeah,
they've come up with over the last several years some really neat foliage colored varieties of canna lilies. Everybody is familiar with the old green one with the yellow blossom. But there are some really dramatic ones with red or green and red and yellow leaves and all kinds of stuff going on. And they come in, again, several flower colors.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Made my
and they love moisture, too.
We'll be back after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO here, speaking up for my all-time favorite home of flowers and plants, indoor and outdoor, King's Nursery in Santa Rosa, one of the truly great gifts to our community. I just read where 95% of King's plants are grown locally. Do you think after 123 years they've learned a few things about flowers, plants, and veggies that grow right here in Sonoma County? You bet they have. And they've been rewarded by being voted the best nursery in the county for years in a row now. Also want to put in a few good words about King's staff. I've personally shopped there perhaps 20 times in the past few years, and I've learned more and been served so well by their amazing crew of plant people who know what they're talking about and are happy to teach you as they've taught me. All you need to do is ask. King's Nursery, corner of 13th and Stewart, Santa Rosa, just off College in the heart of the city. Family owned since 1896. Learn more at kingsflowernursery.com.
Here's a message from the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
So much water, so little time. A mosquito can go from egg to an adult in less than a week. Dump out containers and other items holding standing water. Clean out clogged rain gutters, empty potted plant saucers. Anything that can hold water for more than 5 to 7 days has the ability to produce mosquitoes.
Report mosquito problems to the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District at msmosquito.com.
Hearts for Veterans provides assistance to those who have served and are currently serving in the U.S. military. Our veterans have so many needs and we can't do it alone. We work with many resources throughout our county and our state. For more information, go to heartsforveterans.com and find out how you can be a part of a great growing team. Hearts for Veterans is a 501c3 nonprofit. That's heartsforveterans.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
I want to thank all the great callers and emailers this morning. They really gave your brain a workout this morning, Dave.
Yeah, there was a lot of diversity in the questions, which was really nice. A
lot of great questions this morning. We thank our folks for that. Hope to stick around and give it a little more time to give you some entertainment this morning, because we'll be heading over to the KSRO kitchen with Chef John Ash this morning. We have a pair of tickets to a great event coming up next Saturday. John Ash is the lead chef in this exciting food and wine event it's by the Press Democrat is putting this on for the seventh straight year. We'll tell you, I can get tickets to that. We'll also be tasting the sweepstakes award-winning wine with the award-winning winemaker from St. Francis during the next hour, and chatting with the chef from Tony's Seafood, just opened in Marshall, California, and it's bringing in the crowds. We'll tell you how you can head out there and what you can expect when you go out to the coast. Beautiful weekend to be out there. Back after this. Dave, we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Thanks so much. This is KSRO in Santa Rosa, California.
I'm Stephen Curry.